You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Here with you all on a later podcast on this, Thursday now, to recap that come-from-behind win over the Spurs, 121-116 final, as the Pelicans overcome a 15-point deficit late in the third quarter to get their seventh straight victory and go 35-21. Nine games over 500 for the first time since 2011, a seven-game win streak for the first time since 2011. Things are clicking for the Pelicans. We're going to recap this game, talk about how they overcame that deficit, who played well, who kind of surprised at one point in there too, and what kind of did they do to get this victory. We're only going to do two segments today on the show. And in the second segment, I want to talk about pace and defense and how one leads to the other, because I got asked that question today on the radio on T-Bob and Jordy Collada's show Off the Bench over in Baton Rouge on ESPN Radio there, and I thought that was an interesting discussion. So we'll talk about those two topics in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So the Pelicans' victory over the Spurs again, 121-116, seven straight for the Pelicans. And when you look at this game, you kind of thought at one point, well, for sure at one point, when they were down by as many as 15, that the winning streak was going to be over. The Pelicans didn't seem into the game as much in the first half. Their shot wasn't falling, and you could see that maybe just take them out of it a little bit, just them thinking it wasn't their night. But this team battled back again in the third quarter. That they managed to beat the Spurs 36-35 in that quarter before really outscoring them in the fourth 34-21. On the night, Anthony Davis had a bit of a quiet performance from him, calling 26 points, 15 rebounds, along with two steals, a quiet performance, of course, not his usual 40-plus point explosion that we've been seeing from him, but he was steady all around and on both sides of the ball, and particularly needed in the end of the game, wherein I think it was like the final 17 minutes or so, scored 12 points. That's kind of what you need out of this guy. Emeka Okafor started, but because of the way the Spurs kept going small with three-guard lineups and smaller lineups like that, forcing switches, guards going at Mirotić or Okafor, he only really played 4 minutes in this game, was just a bit of a liability out there. I think we still like that he's been starting for the Pels, given Anthony Davis the easier defensive assignment in the beginning, but Alvin Gentry said that he might not start and his minutes might vary, you know, game by game and opponent by opponent, depending on what the situation demanded. And I think this was definitely a good move. The Pelicans went with a lot of smaller lineups in this game, particularly Rondo Holiday Moore out there, to kind of counter the speed that the Spurs wanted to throw out on the court. The Spurs, as I said in the preview the other day, are going to try and attack you by getting to the rim that way and shooting those kind of shorter mid-range jumpers and not so much threes. And they were eating the Pelicans alive doing that, and the Pelicans managed to kind of counteract that with their own small lineups for it. Jrue Holiday had a monster game, might have been the best player on the court for the Pels in this one. 25 points, 11 of 18 shooting, 2 of 5 from 3. And we're seeing his threes drop, which I think is a good thing, and we're seeing him be more aggressive overall. Chipped in with 3 assists, 4 rebounds as well. Kind of the night you want to see from him, just attacking, being that score. Rajon Rondo had 12 assists. He was the facilitator, the distributor, and also the motivator. This team we saw at halftime was kind of lethargic, not looking great. And Rajon Rondo apparently chewed them all out heading into the locker room at halftime before Alvin Gentry continued that in the locker room. And we can see the difference it made in this team when they came out firing and not wanting to lose, and you saw the mentality change. That is maybe the big reason we've seen them start to turn these third quarters around and start to win more of them. They kind of just want it more. We've said energy, effort, and all of that, and they're having that in spades right now for this team. Nikola Mirotić had a pretty good night overall, 13 points. He only played about 20 minutes again. They just kept attacking him, and you can see on the perimeter against a guard, he's not who you want out there. He can handle doing rim protection below the basket, containing guys who are coming at him that way, but he gets burnt too much on the perimeter or further out of the paint. So you see him playing fewer minutes depending on the situation. But his shot was actually going tonight, and he started the game off with a three-point make. He was 2 of 5 from deep, 5 of 9 overall. He's starting to hopefully get that shot going back and more, and I think it'll be a good thing. And then, speaking of the word more, Etuan Moore was huge for the team last night. 17 points. This is a guy who was quiet in the first half. I don't think made a shot. He was 0 for 4 and then decided in the second half to attack the rim. This is going to be a trend for the Pelicans going forward. Are they aggressive? Do they attack? If they do, it's really good things here. Moore took 6 attempts in the paint in the second half compared to just 4 total shot attempts that he missed in the first half. Finished with 17 points on the night. You needed to see that out of him. This team works better when they are aggressive and they are attacking. The other guy to kind of do that was Darius Miller. He wasn't making his shots at the rim, but he drove more than you've seen from him. He took 8 shot attempts on the night. 3 of those were not threes. It's rare for him. Usually it kind of adds up there. He finished with 11 on the night as well. You even got to see some springy Cheick Diallo in there playing 12 minutes. I think the Pelicans liked him against the slower-footed big men of the San Antonio Spurs. And he got a great sequence where he got a block on the defensive end and then streaked down the field for the transition score. And despite all of that good stuff we just talked about, the Pelicans almost threw this one away. Going to the line to basically ice the game was Drew Holiday, who missed both his free throws, and this team was bailed out by an Anthony Davis offensive rebound and then subsequent trip to the foul line where he made both of them. We saw this team almost unable to inbound the ball, and Rajon Rondo had to call a timeout there. Still a few little execution things, but overall you've got to be pretty happy with what you've seen from this team. 68 points in the paint as well. Dribble penetration and driving is going to be a concern, because I think teams are starting to realize if you get a guard switched on to Mirotić on the perimeter, or you get a guard switched on to Okafor on the perimeter, these guys can drive and cause some damage, and that's not what you want to see. If you get these guys out of the game and then you have one kind of big in there that can go out and score, you can make that work. Joffrey LeVern shouldn't be scoring 14 points in a game against the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm sorry, it's just as simple as that. Lack of wing depth you could see kind of apparent too. Rudy Gay, who is a scorer, had 19. Again, not ideal overall. Murray, their starting point guard, had 18. All of his shots basically coming at the rim or those close mid-range jumpers. There's a way to beat this Pelicans team. The Spurs tried it, almost got there, but they weren't close enough, which has to make you feel good about this Pelicans team going forward. So before we talk about the defense and pace and how this is kind of working together and one thing feeding into the other, don't forget, check out the Locked On NBA podcast, which is daily Monday through Friday. I am one of the co-hosts of the Wednesday edition of the podcast, myself and John Corrales of Locked On Celtics. So make sure you tune in daily to the Locked On NBA podcast. So tomorrow we'll talk about Emeka Okafor, Etuan Moore, and Darius Miller and how those guys have been playing during the streak, because this team is made up of more than just Anthony Davis, Andrew Holiday, and Rajon Rondo. Maybe we'll throw him in there too. We'll also preview the Mavericks game, a game the Pelicans definitely want to get a win with, to give them at least a 2-2 record on this road trip, if not more. But I wanted to mention something today, and this came from a discussion on air with T-Bob Hébert and Jordy Collada over in Baton Rouge on the Off the Bench morning show on ESPN. I don't even know what it is up there, 104.5, something like that. And discuss kind of what we've seen rising up big time from the Pelicans over this stretch. You know, we talk about pace a lot, and that is obviously just how many possessions, and it's an estimate you get per game. And the more possessions you have, the more possessions you have to score. Also, both teams essentially play with the exact same pace, because you get a possession, you score, the other team gets a possession, and they score. And on the season, the Pelicans have played with the third highest pace in the league, 102.46. So let's just round down, call it 102. But over the past 7 games during this streak, they are on a torrid pace of 107.22, so 107. So they're getting about 5 possessions more per game, which really, when you think about it, if you were to get 4 points out of all those, a made 3 and a foul, isn't going to be a ton. That's 20 more points per game, which is a lot, but that's not realistic. Even if you just say it's 2 points per possession, which again, it's not necessarily that, it's only 10 points more per game. So how does it equate to so much more scoring and different things like that and what they're doing here? And it's because at times things are a bit of a zero-sum game, and I'm probably butchering this analogy and use of words here, but think about it this way. We know the Pelicans' defense has been significantly improved during this stretch. During this past seven games, they rank ninth in defensive efficiency. They've been in the top 10 for most of January and February. Far cry, and that put them the other day at 18th in the league. I'm not sure exactly where they are right now. Well, we'll look it up. So overall on the season, this Pelicans team is 18th. There we go. So to see them be that much higher up over these past 2 months has been very good. This team wants to get out and run and play quickly. That's times why you see them take and rip an early three in the shot clock when it's like, the hell, you guys could have just worked this around, and they normally, when they brick it, and then of course when they make it, it looks genius. So by their defense improving, it feeds into playing with a faster pace and more offense, because you get stops, and when you get stops, usually as a turnover or a missed shot, you get the rebound and you can then run. Teams do try and get rid of offensive rebounding and try and get back and get set, but the Pelicans, again, have so much athleticism, and when they're forcing more misses, an opponent field goal percentage is down comparatively, so it's on the stretch, they're playing just significantly better basketball. It's kind of as simple as that. Forcing more misses, you're going to have more chances to get out and run, and you can't stop Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday and Rajon Rondo forever in transition. So I think that has to do with the overall pace. I know people then worry, well, if they're playing so fast, are you going to worry about Davis and his minutes and getting burnt out or other injuries potentially occurring? Because there is a bit of a correlation, not necessarily causation there, between everything. So you've got to worry about that. When you think of it, just think of it as five more possessions per game. That's not the end of the world. That's not going to significantly affect a lot of minutes per player here. So there, I'm not too worried about. But this change in offense and their kind of pick and roll heavy scheme that they've been running all really does start on the defensive side of the ball, because you're getting those stops. You can get out and you can either score in transition, or you still have an advantage where you can run a pick and roll, just not in transition, as we've seen this team kind of morph into a heavy pick and roll franchise right now. Of note with that, you don't necessarily want to be a heavy pick and roll team, because most of the top five offenses, top 10 offenses in the league don't really rank all that highly in pick and roll usage in the half court. Again, half court basketball is not really as popular right now. You want to get out and run when you have a numbers advantage. But this team is doing it, and they're kind of just scoring all over the place right now. On the season, the Pelicans have an offensive rating of 107.7, which is in the top 10 in the league. Over the winning streak, their offensive rating right now is at 111, so about 4 points more per 100 possessions. It's kind of where you can see, again, increase in pace, you're going to score a little bit more in terms of points per game, but this adjusts for that. So even then, they're still scoring more than they have been otherwise. They actually rank 11th for whatever reason over the last seven games, because there are some teams that are putting up massive amounts of points and scoring during that stretch. But that is still an improvement, and that's the biggest thing, not the ranking, but where they are. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Sorry for the late podcast. Had some computer issues. We've got them sorted out. Tomorrow's will be up bright and early for you all as we get you set for the weekend, preview the Mavs game, talk about some of the role players on this team who have been key guys at times. You know, again, it's not just Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, Rajon Rondo out here in DeMarcus Cousins when he was healthy. Enjoy the win. That's a great comeback. This team shows some damn resiliency that we haven't seen before. They feel good. They feel they can turn things around. How often have we seen it where they're just missing a couple of shots and they kind of get in their heads and they don't really care, and then they're just like, whatever, we're done, we're not going to be able to come back? This team thinks that they can come back. Now, do they carry that mindset? Because we've seen this be an issue this year. When they go into a matchup, they're expected to win. Are they going to try it to that in that game against the Mavericks and just try and beat them and get it over with and move on? Or are they just going to think they can coast and get a victory, because that might be a little bit tougher? But right now, everyone on this team is saying they're having so much fun winning. Let's see if this mentality sticks. So again, thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.